Parshas Vayechi begins without any break from Parshas Vayigash. It's a stuma. And one explanation for this brought in Rashi is that once Yaakov died, Nistama Inehen, that the eyes of the Jews were closed or were dimmed with the anguish of the Shibud. And as Rav Schwab notes, that seems a bit difficult because the slavery didn't actually start while the Shvatim were still alive. And he suggests that that's actually the intent here, that the notion of their eyes being closed represents the fact that the change was subtle, that the influence of Yosef was reduced in ways that weren't necessarily perceptible at the time, but the impact would be felt later. And that's what we're understanding here from the fact that their eyes were indeed closed to what was happening. So we find that Yaakov is becoming weak, and he's on his deathbed, and he calls to his son Yosef, and he says to him, "Imna matzasi chen beinecha, simna yodcha tachis irechi, v'asisa imadi chesed v'emes, alna sipareini b'mitzrayim." So this idea that his request for how he should be buried, that he shouldn't be buried in Mitzrayim, is referred to as a chesed v'emes. We sometimes call it a chesed shel emes. The notion that there's some kind of a particular kindness here that's identified with truth, Rashi explains that it's a reference to the fact that helping somebody in this way, in the area of burial, is an area in which one can't expect any reciprocity. So therefore, we know that it's sincere, we know that it's genuine, because there's no hope for any payback. Others explain the term differently. For example, there are some who suggest that when it comes to other chasadim, we're never sure if it's actually needed. It could be that the individual doesn't really require our help, and we just assume that he does. But in this case, when it comes to burial, the individual certainly can't take care of himself, and the chesed is undeniable, and therefore it's genuine, and perhaps it's called chesed v'emes, or chesed shel emes, for that reason. There are others who suggest that perhaps the other side of that, that just as the deceased definitely needs the help of others in order to be buried, so too, this is a chesed which has a particular value to it, and those who are performing the chesed wouldn't have the opportunity without the nifter, and therefore perhaps it's considered to be a chesed shel emes for that reason. The Kadshik Lover Rav, in his drashos, suggested that perhaps the reason it's considered to be such a significant chesed is because it's a final schus that's given to the deceased who are able to provide that for others, and they won't have any other such opportunity. In the Sichos Beis Av of Rabbi Yochum Schlesinger, he suggests that the reason it's called the Chesed Shel Emes is sometimes we respond to a chesed because the individual is prevailing upon us so much, and we find it hard to say no, and the impact of his pleading is so difficult to ignore. But here, the individual is not going to plead anymore, and there isn't any difficulty in turning away, and therefore the fact that we're responsive is clearly motivated by nothing other than emes. The Ksav Sofer in his Chuvis in Yeridayin Siman Kuf Pei suggests that the Chesed Shel Emes component here is in going above and beyond, that every society has to have some way to take care of those who are no longer alive, basically for hygienic reasons. But the idea that one will not only do the minimum in order to address that aspect, but will also try to take care of the nifter in accordance with their wishes and do that which they ask for, that's the chesed. So therefore, he notes that the chesed is focused on the alna tipereini b'mitzrayim. Going back to Rashi's original interpretation, that the idea of a chesed shel emes is one that one does not expect any payback for, seems a little bit difficult because we do believe in the notion of schar v'onesh. So presumably, Yaakov and Yosef are religious people, so there is going to be a schar for his involvement in the mitzvah. So what does Yaakov mean if he's calling it a chesed v'emes, and the understanding is that there isn't going to be any payback? So perhaps it could be suggested that Yaakov is telling Yosef here that he shouldn't be focused on the schar, and that he should understand that his role vis-a-vis the brothers is one of a peacemaker, And Yaakov is now going to give brachos to all of the brothers and ask them to be there to serve as a unit for each other. And therefore, he is telling Yosef, don't think as a politician, don't think in transactional terms, but understand that we are all meant to serve each other and to benefit each other as part of a unit. In Pasuk Lamed Aleph, he asks them to take a shvua. It's an interesting question if such a shvua would be binding. The Ramah in Yeridaya in Siman Reish Lamed Beis, Sif Yud Zayin, writes that if someone takes a neder to a chola, that neder may be considered an ones because there's a concern that the individual is only responding to the request because he's afraid of causing anguish to the chola who's in a dangerous situation. However, he goes on to add that if there's some other reason why the individual would take the oath, so then it is binding. So in the situation that here he is the son of Yaakov and he could be understood as being expected to respond to his wishes anyway, so therefore it should be binding for that reason. And perhaps that's how the Ramah gets his din, and the Paras Yosef suggests that indeed this could perhaps be a raya for that position. In the next pasuk we find here, the beginning of Perek Memches, the Torah tells us that a little bit later, Yosef is told, Hinei avicha choleh, that here your father is sick, and the Gemara in Bav Metzia and Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph tells us that this is actually the first time that someone got sick before dying, that this was actually something Yaakov had requested, that he have some kind of warning that it was coming. And the Torah Tamima poses the question, how does the Gemara know that from the text, that this was the first time that anyone had gotten sick before dying? And he offers two suggestions. One is that it would have been Derech Eretz to be a little bit more indirect in breaking such heavy news to Yosef and to say it in a little bit more of a roundabout way. So he suggests that perhaps that was impossible because since it had never happened before, there wouldn't have been a way to convey the news in such a fashion that Yosef would have been able to figure it out. So therefore he had to be more direct and explain to him that this is what's happening, that Yaakov is sick. Another suggestion he has is simply that the language hine always conveys a chiddush. So here this is something new. This has never happened before. Yaakov is indeed sick. So the Torah tells us that Yosef responds, Vayikach eshnei vanav imo. So he takes his two sons with him. So this is apparently noteworthy, the fact that he brings his sons with him. Rav Achaigon, in his She'iltos, in She'ilta Tzadi Gimel, writes that somebody who's going to visit the sick should take somebody else along with him. And the Netziv, in his commentary to the She'iltos, asks, where do you know this from? So the Ragachover points out in his commentary to Chumash that this seems to be the source, that we find that Yosef brings his sons with him when he goes to visit his father, and apparently that's because there is such a din in Bikur Cholim that one's supposed to do that. One could have said otherwise. One could have said that this is simply because he was their grandfather and he wanted to bring them along for that reason, or also because he's trying to model Bikur Cholim as part of the mitzvah of Chinuch. But in any event, that's one suggestion, that he was doing this in order to fulfill this ideal that one who's visiting the Choleh should bring others along with him. In the Tshuvas Minchas Chaim, Rav Chaim Anselem, he suggests that this isn't actual halacha, it's good advice, in light of what the Gemara says in Adarim, that someone who goes to visit the Choleh reduces the impact of the illness, so therefore perhaps the more the better. The idea that he says there that it's not actual halacha was questioned by others. In the Tshuvas Avnei Yaakov, he writes that it's quite astonishing that this is not brought anywhere else, but indeed it doesn't seem to be that it's brought lahalacha. Rav Asher Weiss in his Sefer on Chumash suggests that perhaps there is another purpose to this. And we know that one of the major goals in Bikur Cholim, as the Ramban writes in his Sefer Torah Sa'adam, is that we're there in order to pray for the Chola. And Rav Asher Weiss quotes from Rav Mordechai Benet that we often assume that there are two types of tefillos, the tefillah of an individual or a tefillah of the tzibor, which requires a minyan. And anything less than a minyan is considered to be tefillah biyachidus. And Rav Mordechai Benet explained that that's not the case, that even when you don't have a minyan, more than one is still tefillas rabbim, is still considered to be tefillah of the many. So therefore, if part of the goal of Bikur Cholim is for the purpose of tefillah, so the more you have, the more tefillah you are able to bring towards the purposes of the chola, and therefore that adds benefit and zchuyos towards his healing, and perhaps that's why there is a value in bringing others along. Adding one more lesson of chesed to this aliyah.